Evening, everybody. I'm Ian, and I'm really tall for my age. I think it's amazing, actually, that I am probably the oldest one who's going to be up here tonight, which is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So I just want to say, well done, each and every one of you young people that's involved tonight. So I'm just going to share a little bit. You had an amazing interpretation and reading of the Bible passage tonight. And if you've now got a pair of my underpants, I'd like them back by the end. Otherwise, it's going to be an interesting week in the office. But I just want to start, really. Andrew was sharing this morning about he loves sci-fi and fantasy and reading the books. I don't like reading the books. I like watching the films. And one of my favourite films of all time, apart from Up, which is literally the top one, and if you've never seen Up, where have you been all your life? Is The Avengers, because Joel and myself are really into superheroes. I think we sometimes think we are really superheroes. But the one is The Avengers, and it's a story of a group of superheroes and specialized humans that band together to battle an evil force that is bent on world domination, on completely taking over the world. The only problem was this team that was supposed to be coming together ends up squabbling, they argue, they distrust each other, they fall out, they fight. They get it all wrong. So as a result, that whole thing was kind of infiltrated by the guy who was the baddie in the film. And he was smart enough to anticipate that they would all start squabbling and falling out with each other. And so he actually counted on their lack of unity in order to accomplish his diabolical plan of taking over the world. And he almost wins. I'm not trying to give, if you haven't seen the film, I don't want to give it away to you, but he almost wins because this team failed to realize that it takes all of them. It wasn't just one of them that could make the difference. It took them all working together to bring about the success of their mission of saving the world in order to defeat the enemy that was before them. It meant they had to come together. And we'll look a little bit more about that in a minute. But it certainly describes the way the church was functioning or dysfunctioning in Corinth, which is where we see Paul writing this letter that these guys amazingly dramatized for us. That in this chapter of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is writing his letter to a church that in many ways is behaving like the Avengers did in the movie. They're falling out. They're saying, well, we don't need them. Oh, we don't want them. But what Paul's saying to them is this, is that if the body isn't coordinated, it isn't effective. You see, the body of Christ, which is the church in Corinth, was as diverse in its composition as we saw. There were Jews, there were Greeks, there were people who were slaves, there were people who were free. And it was as diverse in that as it was in the different gifts that people bring with them. So Paul's emphasizes what brings the body together. He says, this is what's important. We are baptized into one spirit and sustained by one spirit. Folks, if we as a church, as part of the body, the church, not only in the UK, but around the world, are going to be effective in what God calls us to do, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in each and every one of our lives. And the Apostle Paul is talking about this and gives a great picture of what the church and everyone should be like if they are in Christ. And so this image is that it's not every part of the body doing the same thing or trying to be like everyone else, but that every part of the body is contributing to the same purpose. See, I didn't know whether you know this or not, but there are several diseases, interesting topic for a Sunday night, that attack the central nervous system and affect the body's ability to communicate with itself. The brain knows what it wants to do, but it can't make the body respond. The mouth knows what it wants to say, but it can't make the tongue cooperate. Every step is a struggle because the body can lose its coordination. So as a result, the body loses its capacity to function the way it's supposed to do. And that can happen in the body of Christ, the church. And Paul recognizes that when he looks at the church in Corinth. See, each and every one of us in here tonight are needed if the church is really going to work as a great team and be all that it's meant to be. And as I've already said, it's fantastic that we've had the young people leading and doing the worship tonight. Because they're as much an important part of this church as you or as me. That they have as much to offer as any one of us has. Each and every one of us is needed. Perhaps more than we could ever imagine or believe. To hear what Angela was saying is that to go out, to go somewhere else in the world, be part of the church in another part of the world, and to be blessed by them. And it actually changes who you are. I first got into ministry because I went on a visa team to St. Louis in America. I thought it would be cushy. I thought it would be easy. And then we heard the gunshots at night, and I was like, oh, maybe this isn't the most luxurious part of the world to be in doing something for God. But I came back changed because God opened my eyes and showed me how to show love to others in new and exciting ways. And as it says in the passage, none of us can say we don't need the others, and that those that may seem weaker, we can't do without them. You see, you and I need to be involved if life and the church is to be complete. We each have a part and a place in this amazing and incredible body. Young and old and everyone in between, we're all important to God and to each other, with the aim of going on and growing in faith wherever we go and whatever we do. Knowing that we're part of this community, that it doesn't just happen on a Sunday, but it happens every single day of the week. Every single day of the week, I am blessed because I'm hearing what God's doing in people's lives on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we come back here on a Sunday and we praise his name together. That it doesn't just end at 8:30 p.m. or whenever we finish tonight, whatever. But each of us is as much a needy part of the church and God's plan as everyone else. So just to come briefly back to the film, The Avengers. And if you've not seen the film, then I don't want to spoil anything for you. But I'll tell you that what finally brought that group of dysfunctional heroes together was the death of one of the main characters. If you haven't seen it, you'll have to guess it as you go through the film which one it is. But somebody gives his life, well, that kind of gives it away slightly because there's male and female in it, but never mind. Someone gives his life for the sake of the group and its purpose. And that's what brings them together. The one thing that makes the church what it is, that it's more than just a bunch of gifted and talented people, is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Everything we do should point to the sacrifice that Christ made for us and the reality of his resurrection. Without that, we could still be just a group of talented individuals trying to do some good together. But because of what Jesus Christ has done for us through his death and his resurrection, and that his power can be at work in each and every one of us, we are more than just gifted people, but we are brought together into one body for the purpose of Christ at our head, and his Spirit giving us the life and the energy and the motivation that we need to be all that we can be and more in his name.
In the following verses after that passage that was so amazingly read to us, Paul writes, "Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, now eagerly desire the greater gifts." We are to seek out the gifts that God has made available to us, to do through each of us what he wants to do, not just in our own lives, but in the way that we impact the world around us. You see, this thing called church is about people. We're all different. Just look at the people you're sat next to right now and say, aren't you glad you're sitting next to someone as amazing as me? But what it shows us, we all have a different background, we have different abilities, different skills and gifts that comes together and serves Jesus in an amazing way. That if we accept all that God has done for us through Jesus and we worship him together and we serve him because we are accepting all that he's done for us, we have a purpose that he has given us and a mission, and we are part of a massive family, and God wants to provide all that we need to bring about that everybody on this planet will come one day to a right relationship with him. Wouldn't it be amazing if God wanted to speak into someone's life through whoever was on car park one Sunday? The whoever's on car park stewarding, suddenly God gave them a word to say to somebody else. Why can't that happen? Or someone on coffee team just gave a word of encouragement to somebody as they're lining up, just saying, I really feel God wants me to say this to you. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Why does it always, we think that it has to be somebody better than us that can speak into different situations? Or maybe for you, it's just God places somebody on your heart. In that moment, why don't we just send them a text and just say, I'm praying for you today? Because I don't know about you, but there are times in my week that there are tough situations you're dealing with. And you know, there are people in this church, and some of you may be sitting here tonight, that sometimes just send a text that just says a few words of encouragement. That means immeasurably more than you could ever know. Because sometimes you're dealing with difficult situations, nobody else knows about it, but at that moment, you know that God is there with you because he's speaking to you through somebody else. For each of us, I just want to share some helpful things to consider when we're looking at where do I fit. Now, for some of you, you're actually part, we do a thing in this church called the Connect Course. And what we do is take some of the older young people for 6 weeks during a Sunday morning service and explain to them what church is really like and what it's about. This morning we were getting them to build the highest freestanding structure possible using only marshmallows and straws. It's deeply theological. But it just shows how well people work together as team. And I think some of them are here tonight, but I'm not going to name them, but there was a boys group and there was a girls group. Within 30 seconds of starting, the boys were saying, oh, we're easily going to win this. Where ours is far higher, there are one set of straws high. We're easily going to win this. 5 minutes they have. The girls just quietly got on, worked together, and guess who had the tallest structure by the end? Girls. Anyway, that's a complete side issue. I apologize, boys. But what we ask them, or what we take them through, and this is kind of giving them an insight because we haven't done this with them yet, is to ask the question, where do I fit? And you might be sitting here tonight going, where do I fit in the church? Know that there is a place for you. Or you may be asking the question, what are my gifts? understanding that God provides for you, that God has gifts that he wants to place into your life. He wants to know what you are good at and wants to provide things that may mean taking a step of faith, but in all the things, to use them for his glory. Because God wants you to know yourself as he created you to be, and to know your abilities, and to know that as you trust in him, he will enable you and equip you to do the plans that he has for you. You don't have to do them in your own strength, but that he'll take all your personal experience, the things that you like to do, the things that you're passionate about already, and will just fan into flame those and so much more. But also to pray. As Josh was advertising so well tonight, there's the prayer day coming up. That to pray that God will guide you to know what your gifts are and to use them in ways that honor him. If we find we're reluctant to know because we're afraid of what he might call us to do, then we need to face up to that fear and say, what is bigger, my God or my fear? We should always be thinking about where we belong. Where does God want me to play my part in the really important things of life? The worship of God, the caring for those in our wider community. Where does God want me when it comes to campaigning for justice, for supporting and encouraging each other? And I could go on. But also to start to understand what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. And don't be afraid to ask questions if you don't understand, because we are all constantly learning and growing together. And also to ask, just simply ask God, Lord, what is it you want me to do? But also to ask other people, ask them, what do you see in me? And that might seem really scary. And when you first try it, it is. But if you've never done it, please can I encourage you to give it a go. And this will all take some time, but come to that place where you know where you fit. It might not be here at Fullwood. God may actually be calling you somewhere else, but you're still part of his church, part of the body of Christ. And to come to that place where you humbly and gratefully receive all that God has prepared and wants to give you. But there's still more that Paul has for us, and I haven't got time to go into it now. So here's a bit of homework. Read the next passage, because then he says, towards the end of this passage, now I will show you the most excellent thing. And that is love. That we can have all this, we can feel we're part of this, but if we don't have love, we literally have nothing. Some of us may strive, as I close, for the perfect body. And as you can see, I'm doing pretty well at the moment. I've actually set myself a challenge with Sam, my eldest, that by end of August next year, I will have a six-pack. I didn't say a six-pack of what, though. Because he's already got one, and he likes showing it off around the living room from time to time, and he's going to kill me if he ever hears this. Or if his brother or sister say anything, don't say anything. But the perfect body does not exist. Those that strive to have a perfect body are never, ever satisfied. There's always something they want to change. And many ways, it's like that when we look for church. There's always something we find at fault. And whether that's because we're British, I don't know, but we are really good at finding fault. But the reality is, the church is constantly a transformation. that there are people who will come in who are hurting, who have got habits, have got hang-ups and all sorts of stuff, that if we're doing our job properly, we will never, ever be perfect. Because if I'm in this church, and if you're in this church, we're still yet to be perfect. But we can still be transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. That is my hope and my prayer. We've heard some amazing testimonies tonight. I hope in the years to come, some of these guys come back up and say, what happened back then was the start of something massive that God did in my life. That for many of us that are slightly older, in years to come, we will say, do you know, that night, it challenged me because of these young people getting up and doing and saying and stepping out, that it convicted me to go and do likewise. And now I see that God is so much more than I thought back then. Where's your fit in this amazing body that Paul calls us to be a part of? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you and I praise you for each of these young people, for their willingness to be part of this service tonight, for the courage that it must have taken them. Lord, I pray that they would know that they are part of the body of Christ. And Lord, I pray for each of us that we would find where we fit in this incredible body that is the church. Lord, not everybody has to do something that is seen by everyone. And I give you praise and thanks for those people who minister here week in, week out, and nobody ever sees it. Lord, I praise you for them, and I give you thanks for their ministry. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that we would seek out your face this week, that we would look to see what's the next step with you. And for some people here tonight, it might actually be to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you that your arms are wide open to them tonight and you're ready to welcome them into your body. And for some of us tonight, Lord, we may have got disillusioned a little bit with where we're at in church. Lord, help us fix our eyes on you, the head of this incredible body, that we might seek you out to know what is next in this incredible journey with you that we have. I ask all these things in your holy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Would you like to stand?